Welcome to the Team TB 813 podcast, which is associated with Team TB 813, which you can follow us on Twitter at that handle, and also be sure to check out team813.com, which covers all of your Rays, Buccaneers, and Bolts news.
Welcome to the team813.com podcast. My name is John Miles, and I'll be your host. This is episode 2, and today we have a very special treat for your very first full-length episode. We have Tampa Bay Buccaneers superfan Keith Kunzig, also known as Big Nasty around the Tampa Bay area, and I'm pretty sure you've either seen him in Raymond James at the Trop or at Amalie Arena during any of the games going on. What's going on, Keith?
Oh, man. Can't ask for a better life, baby. Buck life, that's what it's about.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and get right on into it. How long have you been in the Tampa Bay area? I know originally you're from New Jersey. How long have you lived here, and how long have you been a fan for the team or been a season ticket holder?
Well, to answer that question, we moved down from Jersey in 1975. So I've been a fan of the Bucs since their inception. Even though they moved down in 75, we started in 76. And just been, as a kid then, you'd figure I was, 8 years old back then. And loved their colors. I ended up going to a football game, and it was the Falcons and the Bucks. And I was actually going as a Falcon fan because I played for the Little League Falcons down here, Little League football. And I met Bad Buck, which was the WDAE mascot that looked like Yosemite Sam. And I was just in awe of the guy, and ended up leaving a Buck fan that game, and was a Buck fan for life.
Yeah, and let me get this right. So you've been a season ticket holder since the beginning.
Yeah, I've been a season ticket holder for 30-plus years. Not so much the very beginning, because obviously at 8 years old, you're not buying season tickets.
Well,
but we used to always go to the games back in the day. But season ticket holder, 30-plus years, absolutely.
Well, yeah, pretty much, since what, mid to early 90s?
Correct. Actually, we can go back. God, when I think of games, I can think of the old Tampa Stadium. Doug Williams, the Jimmy Giles, moving on to the James Wilders, the Mark Carriers, and then all the way up to, going into our playoffs, the second playoffs, which is the 99 year, where we end up coming back and went and played in the Rams, and then, been full circle. And then obviously that Super Bowl win, you can't beat that one. That was definitely the mountaintop right there.
Yeah. And it kind of sucks we haven't had too many winning seasons after that. But, what is your all-time favorite memory minus the Super Bowl? Because you ask every Bucs fan, and that's going to be the pinnacle of it. But minus the Super Bowl, what would be your biggest moment, either being in an opponent's stadium or in Raymond James or the Sombrero?
Favorite memory. As far as a game highlight or a game experience, I got to tell you, I think as a child, we more watched it on TV, was Worst to First, 1979, where we went to the NFC Championship and lost to the Rams. But, as a child memory, that's a real big memory that sticks in my head. But I remember us beating, Jaworski and Harold Carmichael, one of the biggest wide receivers I've ever seen in my life. And we ended up upsetting the Philadelphia Eagles to obviously even get to go to play against the Rams, which that was one of my highlights. And then obviously, Philly again. We end up beating them at the vet and getting to go to the game. So, meaning when I say go to the game, meaning going to the bowl. Because believe it or not, everybody thought I was in Philly, but we were at this place called Barnacles in Bradenton, and the NFL Live group went to us live at Barnacles. So that's why everybody thought I was in Philly. I said, man, I wanted to live to make it to the Super Bowl. You kidding? But I will tell you this. Since then, I've been to Philadelphia, and you're going to think I'm crazy. It was one of the best stadiums I've ever been at, and the crowd was awesome. And speaking of Harold Carmichael, I got to meet him when I went, and I also met the guy in the movie, Vince Papale. What a super nice guy. Super nice guy. Which I don't know if you've ever seen that movie where he, you know, he's the definite underdog to make the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it's called Unbelievable or something. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
But no, there's some great memories. But, you know, you're right. Super Bowl is always going to be the best memory for everybody. That's for sure.
All right. Now, let's give a little bit into this. You made several trips to the Hall of Fame in Canton. What is it like knowing that you had an audition to be voted into the Ford's Hall of Fans this year? And take us a little bit through that experience.
I could tell you, you know, I've been through the Hall of Fame experience one time with Visa, and I was lucky enough to get inducted back in 2001, but it's just like any other marketing promo thing. But this Ford thing, they take it over the top. I mean, it is the elite of the elite. And I don't mean as just super fan. I mean, the way they're treating you. I mean, literally, you're at the yellow jacket ceremony. You receive what they call a blue jacket. And but you're right there with all the Hall of Famers. They have a complete induction area for the fans. And the reason why I know this is a very good friend of mine, Bearman from Chicago, ended up getting it last year. And it was really cool. They invited him to go to the Super Bowl. And David Baker, which is the commissioner of the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, knocks on your door just like they do with the players, which was unbelievable to see. But, you know, getting a knock on my door from Derek Brooks, that's pretty special.
Yeah. I mean, knowing that Brooks is one of your all-time favorite Bucks, what was that moment like? Knowing that you're one of your favorite Bucks idols is banging on your door.
You know, I got to tell you, they totally shocked me because I thought I was just doing a basic interview to hopefully get to that point. And I had no clue. And what's funny is I thought a UPS driver was banging on my door. And I was like, of all times, you're going to bang on my door now. And I actually was getting up with an attitude to lay into him for banging on my door so hard. And I couldn't believe it. I opened up and I see this yellow jacket and Derek's big old grin and, you know, telling me congratulations and being nominated to the Ford. It's unbelievable, but I'm going to need Buck Nation big time because we're not there, man. It's going to take Buck Nation's votes and the other fans' votes to get us in. So I'm hoping, God willing, that can be done.
Yeah, and give us a little backstory. I know most people, you know, they can look up stuff for Bucks, and you know, you'll find your picture all over Google, like they will with Matt Allegy and, you know, some of what the Buck crew and all the rest of them. You know, that's one of the big things you always see. But give a little backstory, like how did you get involved in the community with Tampa Bay and get things started, like with the Drug Nasty program and things like that?
Well, you know, when I originally got inducted back in 2001 for Visa, I got to meet all the Hall of Fames up there, which was one of the closest ones to me is Mikey T. Hoggett. To know who the Hoggetts are is those are the guys for the Washington Redskins where they wore dresses to games to promote the Hogs, which were the offensive line cheerleading group for the Washington Redskins. And Boss Hoggett came up to me and he goes, all right, son, now that you're in the Hall, you got to do something down in Tampa Bay. And I'm like, what are you talking about? All I know how to do is be loud and cheer for my team and be loyal. You know, I love my Bucks. He goes, no, it's a lot more than that, son. And I'm like, okay, what do you mean? He goes, you got to do some charity work back home. And he goes, I said, well, what could I do? And he goes, you'll figure it out. And that was it. I get home and I end up, believe it or not, how fate works out. I receive a phone call from one of these police officers asking me to do a ride-along. And ride-alongs when you go with a police officer for the day and experience what they go through, which was definitely an eye-opening experience. And we made three arrests, and I noticed how bad the drugs were in the city, and it really, believe it or not, scared me. And I said to him, I said, man, I just made a comment. I said, these drugs are nasty down here. And, you know, and here I'm dressed like Big Nasty now, taking in mind, because we're driving around in a police car all day, kind of like a community involvement day, right?
Yeah.
And after I said drugs are nasty, I said, man, don't they have any programs? He goes, well, they used to have DARE and stuff like that. He goes, man, that'd be cool if you did something like that. And I went, huh. So believe it or not, that's when Drugs Are Nasty was born. The program where we started at my daughter's kindergarten and Starkey Elementary back in the day. And now she's 1 year away from graduating to USF University. So been around a long time. And, you know, now we're approved on the school boards to do it. I mean, it's gotten so crazy that we've done it nationwide. We've done it in some great cities, Houston. We've done it in, Philadelphia of all places. And I teamed up with Hall of Fame fans from across the country and starting to bring it to their cities. Because if we could stop one kid from doing drugs, well, that's what it's about. And it's pretty basic. Say no, walk away, and tell somebody. Three golden rules. But there's storytelling behind it. And this storytelling that I'm telling is very, very powerful. And it's shocking all with the kids. And it opens up some strange conversations, which is mainly what you want. Because, like I said, if you could save one kid from making a mistake of even trying drugs, why wait and try to get an addiction? Why wait and try to have an overdose? Just not do it at all. That's the smart move. And like I said, my whole thing, and I've done it since every single year, is to do that during Red Ribbon Week, which is Drug Prevention Week at all the schools in the across the nation, and try to get that message out. And like I said, you're not going to save everybody, but if you can save one, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, what else, what other kind of things do you do with the charity work? I know you've said something in the past. You do stuff for the games, and all the proceeds go to all the charities. You can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I actually got that from Boss Hoggett because they have what they call Hoggett for a Day, and I was like, "What was that?" He said, "Well, what they do is you donate the two tickets to the game, you take them to a tailgate or all you can eat Cheesecake Factory, and give them a game day experience with Big Nasty. Paint them up, get them a Big Nasty, or not a Big Nasty jersey, but a Nasty Crew jersey, a Rhino helmet. That's why you'll see some of those around the stadium. That's because they've been involved in it. And what you do is you go to the local charities, mostly children's charities, but it has been expanding out. You donate that experience, and you go to a live auction of whatever they're having, and they bid on you. And all the monies that they get goes directly to that charity, whether it's the Angelus, whether it's a Kind Mouse. These are just a few that we did this year, which are great charities that have been around forever. And that's the neat thing, man. It's the way to give back. And, yeah, it did cost me two season tickets. Big deal. You know what? It's the help that money's going to make a difference. And I know people can't do this. You know, money's buying two season tickets is a lot of money. But what about this? I don't care if you want to go help the lady across the street. That is something good. And that's what it's about. It's not about who does the bigger charity work. It's just being good to people and taking care of people, period.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's get into the biggest thing here. You know, we're all Tampa Bay fans, so let's get into your thoughts so far this season. What's your biggest takeaways, and what do you like of the direction of the way that Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles is doing with this team?
Well, I could tell you, you know, at the very beginning of the season, I said if we go 8-8, that would be a great season. Not a good season, a great season. I think we're so far away from getting the playoffs. You know, we want it so bad that our expectations get a little high. And, you know, anything can happen. I get it. That's why you play the game. But realistically, you got coach coming in and doing a phenomenal job. And what I mean by a phenomenal job is when you have two coaching staffs and you're uncovering the diamonds in the roster and you're getting these kids to work. And I had a feeling that these rookies were going to take, you know, at least second half the season to start playing to their fullest potential. And let's face it, it's starting to come. That defense is starting to show up. A lot of people knock Jameis Winston, but I mean, guys, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you look back at any quarterback that's been in Coach Arians' system, first year has always been a struggle. But I can tell you right now, look at them yards he's passing. I understand that, you know, Godwin's got over 1,000 yards. I understand that Evans got over 1,000 yards. But who the hell threw it to him? Obviously. You know, I understand the turnovers. Guess what? That's going to be with us for the rest of his life. There's no way he's going to catch up to that. So who cares? Eliminate that and move on. Let's just keep going. I love the kid's memory. He forgets it. He makes a mistake. His perseverance, he gets back on the horse and drives it home. If they don't re-sign him, I'll be literally shocked. It'll be another Doug Williams curse. I guarantee you that's what will happen, because you're going to put us back another decade. And I know right now the Buck Nation needs some winning. And I tell you, don't be surprised if they don't do some upsets and get to 8-8. And you never know, a 9-7. I don't know. I chuckled because I was watching NFL Network, and I saw In the Hunt, and I saw our logo up there. I was like, huh, who would ever believe that? So I know Buck fans, you know, want it now, and there's no excuse, but it takes time to build a football team. It definitely takes time where everybody says to make the winning culture hypos. But the serious thing about it is you got to give this coaching staff time. They're learning the players are learning them. And if anybody knocks on the Glazers, shame on you. You tell me one NFL team out there right now that is employing not one, but two full coaching staffs and paying those salaries. I don't see it. So when it comes to the right direction, and if you're asking me where I think we are, I think our future is bright. I really do. I think, yeah, it's going to be a little bit more patience, and the bandwagoners will come on when we start winning. But the ones that are there every week, and you know who you are, keep strong, keep faithful, and it'll happen, guys. Believe me, history repeats itself.
It surely will. What do you think about this defense? Do you see flashes of our old defense? And I know some people try to say it's stupid to compare them to our Super Bowl team because nobody can ever touch that again. And it's a rare top three defense of all time. But, like, can you see flashes this last Sunday where it's like, who are these guys and what did they do with this current roster?
First of all, something can be happen again. Something else better can happen. You know, it's not all about what we've done in the past. And let's face it, you know, how many Hall of Famers are going to be on that team after it's all said and done? Pretty amazing group, right? And even the non-Hall of Famers, like the Greg Spires, you know, unfortunately Anthony McFarland did not play in the Super Bowl, but he did play during the season. You know, you got to look at, you know, the guys out there that, you know, the Dexter Jacksons, the MVP of the Super Bowl that nobody even talks about anymore. You know, they're always talking about John Lynch and Rondé Barber. I mean, I don't know about you. How about Brian Kelly? You know, that's a group that you're like, wow. I mean, that was not just thrown together. That wasn't just, you know, Coach Gruden coming in. That was built. That was Tony Dungy growing it and then Coach Gruden taking it to the next level. So that's what I'm a firm believer of is, you know, once you find that coaching staff that can build it, you know, and hopefully Bruce can get it done all the way. But, you know, as long as you have that other coach, if he can't, to get us over the top later on down the road. But our defense that we're showing right now, I'm seeing pass rush like I haven't seen in a long time. And it's not a slow death anymore, baby. We ain't sitting there watching them drive 80 yards on us and taking a full quarter off the damn the clock and scoring. Now we're taking away. I don't know if you guys noticed, but last week's, I call it a double goal line scan. And when I mean a double goal line stand, that was un-freaking believable. I mean, God, that penalty was a joke in the first place. I can't believe they called that penalty. But to get that and then actually get a pick, I mean, and let's face it, and we got our rook that got the pick, too. That was even better. So, and that's the thing. It's our youth that's growing. I just hope we can keep these guys together you know, and hopefully they want to keep playing together. But, you know, I could see next year us making the next step to a playoffs and seeing where we go from there. But, yeah, we got a lot of things. Yeah, we got a lot of money under the cap, but we got a lot of people we got to sign, too.
Yeah, and if you were in Jason Light's spot, what would you do basically to try to make sure that you keep this team together? And I know a lot of people right now are going trying to have a debate whether, you know, do you franchise Jameis or do you give him a contract extension for a couple years? And then the other side of it is, do you try to franchise tag Shaq Barrett? Because you got to pay one of the two big money, and the other one has to get franchised. So, in your opinion, which would be better?
Well, even though I'm a financial advisor and I know monies, but I'm going to tell you, when it comes to that salary cap, I want nothing of it. And I can tell you, I wouldn't want Jason's job for nothing. But if we're looking at it, you know, A to A and B to B, common sense, because there's a lot more to it than just those simple questions. What would you want? Yeah, you'd want to sign Jameis to a long-term deal. Number one, and the reason why you would sign him a long-term deal so you get him less, you know, as far as and I believe in this, because if you could do that and sign him less on an annual basis and get him signed, now you're not killing our salary cap. Yeah, and you're right. I don't agree that we do a franchise on Jameis. I think we do the franchise on Shaq, because that franchise tax should be about 16 mil. And that's not bad, because remember, he's considered an outside linebacker, not a defensive end. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But, you know, my biggest thing is it goes even deeper than that. I mean, you got old man Sue that's getting older. Hopefully he'll take less money. And I got to tell you, you know, JPP is a monster. And when you got two bookends, and then you're going to think you take one out of the mix. How about Carl Nassib? I mean, yeah, you got to sign him too. You know, Nelson kid has been on the shelf, so he hasn't done much. But there's a big difference. If you watch that Seattle game where two DNs went down, we didn't get that pass rush. As soon as we have a whole full rotation, we're killing it now. So that should tell you that's the success model that's going to keep you getting sacks and putting pressure on the quarterback. But you got to sign them all. I think they're all quality. I don't think Carl will be too expensive, but, you know, Carl's definitely paid his dues. But I think I look at Carl as a utility. I look at JPP and Shaq as being obviously your top notchers. But, you know, let's face it, Villa, he is coming to his own. You know, you got, hey, nobody's talking about Bo, but Bo's doing a good job too.
Yeah. And somebody that nobody else is talking about is Will Golston, how he's improved. Nobody's talking about him this year, and that's surprising because he's been part of that line, and he's kind of been the unsung hero on that defensive line too.
Well, I can tell you, there's nobody a bigger cheerleader than Will for me, for Willie, because every single game that I get on that field, I'm screaming, Willie, let's go, Willie. And you're right, he's the unsung hero. Nobody's talking about. He is stopping the run. Unbelievable. They're finally playing this guy where he needs to be played instead of defensive end, which he was never a great defensive end. You know, but I'll tell you right now, now he's playing inside. He's playing outside. That's another nice thing. But they're fresh. That's the key. They're fresh. You know, so, you know, you're right. Nobody talks about Willie, but Willie's a great guy, man. And you know what? He's been almost as long as a Buck. Buck is Dotson. You know, shit, I call Dotson the old pine tree. He's got layers of years. I can't even tell you how long he's been with us. But yeah, I think we need to, if we can get them guys wrapped up and then concentrate on helping our offensive line out, because we do need to build some depth there, whether it's in free agency in a solid way or, you know, working on the draft. We haven't drafted an offensive lineman in a very, very long time as far as in the first round. And I would love to see somebody in that availability that would actually take a first round. I haven't been following many offensive linemen this year as far as in the college level. But yeah, you're going to have to find some help from Dot, because he ain't getting any younger. And I still think Donovan's manageable, man. He has his ups and downs, but he's not the, you know, disastrous, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, everybody's going to get beat once in a while. But what would you think about them moving Kappa to right tackle and drafting a guard?
I think Kappa's perfect right where he's at. And, you know, this is where I start saying, when you start changing that chemistry, you know, here's an example. I played defensive tackle, okay, when I was in college. I like to play right side. When I played left side, I was nowhere near the player I was when I played the right side. You're just used. It's something that you're just used to playing. You know, some people can be more versatile, but why would you mess with Kappa? Kappa's playing great right where he's at. You know what I mean? How about just find the need, get it covered, you know, of somebody's actual, either the right side or left side. It's almost like telling Donovan to go play, you know, right tackle opposed to left tackle. You know, it's like he ain't going to do it because they're used to it, you know. So, you know, that's the kind of thing. I'd rather you find a true offensive lineman that could play the position that he's been playing all his life.
Yeah. All right, what are your thoughts so far on the draft this year? Have you been following any of it so far?
What do you mean draft?
Like for the draft coming up, have you followed any prospects so far?
Not at all. And, you know, there is something I want to bring up. One thing I love about Coach is we're going to win them all. We're not going to play for no damn slot position or where we're going to be picked. You know, because let's be honest, it's all a crapshoot, man. It always has been. If it was so concreted, you know, Mark Barron would have been a freaking Hall of Famer, right? You know, or, you know, look at that. One mix from Kukli. You know, nobody really knows. I mean, you know, we got lucky with Devin White because that kid's going to be a stud. You know, I just think and you know what? Nobody thought Villa was going to be the real deal either. Now look it. You know, it just takes time. It takes 2, 3 to maybe sometimes 5 years for these guys to get to their full potential. So draft-wise, you know, go 9-7. That's what I say.
Yep. I mean, would you be ecstatic? I mean, right now, as of right now, the odds, like we were talking about earlier, for the playoffs, Minnesota would have to lose out, which three of those games are against the division, plus somebody else. Now, I don't see that happening. But if it does, we own the rights over the Rams and the Panthers because we have a better strength of schedule or over the NFC wins and losses than Carolina does. And then we beat the Rams, so that would help us, and we would need help from the Bears and the Vikings. So, I mean, in the scenarios, there's still a chance we could do it, but I'd rather – I know it's not going to happen, but realistically, 8-8 and 9-7, it's a win no matter what, no matter how you look at it. Yeah. And you're going to have people that's going to bitch and complain about, oh, we need to lose out so we can get the better draft pick, which in certain ways I can agree with that. Like when the year we drafted Winston, we were only had 2 wins that year. So, yeah, we just go ahead, lose the rest of the games, you know, secure that spot to get the real talent. But only in those circumstances when we know we're going to have the number one pick should we wish for the draft.
It's not going to happen.
But, you know, stuff like that's not going to happen.
You know what? And the typical fan's going to say, hey, we should just crap out and get the number one pick. Again, no guarantee on the number one pick is going to be a home run. The second thing is you got Coach over here to trying to develop a winning culture. Okay, guys, we're going to go ahead and just take a shit the last 3 games and lose the last 3 games to get a draft pick. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you can't build a winning culture. Well. Anyway.
So I always try to look at realistic. You know, I would first of all, do I want the Bucks to go to playoffs? Let's not be ridiculous. Of course I do. You know, but on the other hand, I look at it realistically. You know, we still got some tough games. These guys ain't going to lay over on us either, you know. But if we can get to 8-8, fantastic, great season. You get to 9-7, you're talking coach of the year. I don't care what anybody says because I think that is unbelievable to go 9-7 and have a winning record after all these losing seasons we've had. And you just came in on your first year to do it. That's pretty amazing. So, But yeah, the draft thing, like I say, it's a crapshoot. Nobody knows. Look at first, what was it? Trubisky was told to be going to be the high almighty. He looks great last season. This year, they're ready to kick him to the curb. Who the hell knows, man?
Yeah.
You know, the main thing is, you know, you got to stick with these players, and I just hope we stick with Jameis, because I'll tell you right now, I could see this kid taking off like Doug Williams and becoming an MVP in a Super Bowl for somebody else. So I pray to God that doesn't happen.
Speaking of that, you know, if they do decide to part ways, I mean, is there anybody that you would like to see brought in? Would you rather be a veteran who has the experience, or would you rather look at one of these college kids to, you know, let Bruce Arians pick and choose who he wants as a quarterback? Or, you know, would you look at somebody, you know, possibly like Eli or Phillip Rivers or some of these soon to be free agents?
Yeah, I you're going to think I'm crazy here too, because I'm a big Griff fan. I like Griffin, you know, and I know he doesn't have any playing experience, but let's be honest, he's been behind Jameis Winston all season long, right?
Yeah.
So what do you really have to have, a name for a backup? You know, Eli Manning, you're talking money, right? Why do we have to spend that kind of money? It doesn't make any sense. And Eli ain't going to want to come here. Eli's going to want to go someplace he could start. You know, it doesn't make sense. Why would you bring somebody in if you sign Jameis? You know, you don't need no more competition. This guy's done good by just learning systems. Keep him in the same damn system and let him keep growing with it. And I'll tell you right now, I'm still looking forward to the rest of the year. Mark my words, Jameis Winston may have, by the end of this season, the most yards passing in the league. You watch.
I mean, he's not really that far behind.
He's behind Dak by a few hundred, right? And I'm just telling you, it's like they're catching on. And, you know, and let's face it, Mike Evans has had a great game as of late. You know that's coming again. So that's going to be the next two games coming up, you know. And I'm looking forward to the Texans coming to town too. That'll be a fun game to watch.
I think it would be too. So what do you think the rest of the season? Would you still be happy even if they went 7-9? I mean, because it is some improvement.
First of all, 7-9 is still a good season too. But, you know, everybody asks me, what do you think the season is? 8-8, and I would like to be right. I'd actually love to be wrong and see us go 9-7 and make the playoffs. But like I said, I'm more of a realist. You know, after being a fan for so many years, I've kind of seen it. You know, what I mean by seen it, I've seen what it takes to build a championship. I've seen, you know, years and years of losing way before we won a Super Bowl. So I guess you could say I'm kind of the conditioned fan, I guess you could say. But, you know, I just know you just can't build a championship overnight. And, you know, perfect example, look what the Rams are going through right now, you know?
Yeah. All right, bud. Well, I want to thank you for joining us on the podcast, man. We really hope that we can get you out there as soon as the voting's starting to get all of Tampa Bay on board with this and help you get in there.
And hey, man, I appreciate everybody's votes. All the comments I've received and the well wishes, absolutely touching, humbled and honored to represent Buck Nation in any way I can. Love you guys, man, and go Bucks.
All right, well, we want to thank you. Is there any way they can get a hold of you on social media if they choose to?
Yeah, absolutely. They can go to Big Buck Nasty on my Twitter, or they can reach out to Keith Kunzig on Facebook, and I'll forward you over my Big Nasty Facebook site.
All right, well, there you go. Keith, I want to thank you again, my friend.
No problem, man. God bless. Go Bucks, and Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas to you too, buddy. All right, if you're checking this out, make sure you follow team813.com for all news on Bucks, Lightning, and Rays, and make sure you like, follow, subscribe, and all that good jazz to the podcast as well. We'll catch you on the next episode of Team 813.